is me taking a stand not to leave them behind.
A tourism marketing money increase fails in the House. And KHNS brings you special coverage from the Iditarod Trail. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more up next. Southeast Conference Mid-Session Summit is in Juneau this week. Haines Mayor Jan Hill was elected president of Southeast Conference last year, and so she says her visit to the annual event included many training sessions with the new board. She phoned into the Haines Assembly meeting on Tuesday night.
Our board is a very compassionate board that doesn't know how to say no. And people would come to Southeast Conference and want to report on projects, and we would try to help everybody with everything. So you will see some changes at Southeast Conference over the next few months. We will have a focus. We're going to have priorities and, support those and get those projects going, with all the energy that we have instead of having 25 things that we're working on.
Skagway Assemblyman Mike Korsmo was also in Juneau this week. He's the previous Southeast Conference president. Southeast Conference was formed in 1958 by the region's communities to advocate for establishing the Alaska Marine Highway System. Annual meetings for the nonprofit corporation work to advance collective interests of the people, communities, and businesses in Southeast Alaska.
Southeast Conference, has successes under its belt. We're very involved with energy projects in the region now and working with the Cape Petersburg Intertie Project and the hydro projects in Skagway and throughout the region, actually. So it's an active organization, and these are very good meetings. And today we had an opportunity to meet with the governor twice, which is really rare. He is truly now a resident of Southeast Alaska and really wants to meet with the local people.
Mayor Hill also participated in a conference of mayors during the summit. The mid-session summit is always held in Juneau when legislature is in session, but Southeast Conference held their annual meeting in Haines in September of 2009 and in Skagway in 2007. State House budget writers on Tuesday defeated a plan to provide extra tourism marketing funding. The Chamber's Finance Committee voted 8-3 against adding $6.3 million to the operating budget. Chugiak Republican Representative Bill Stoltz co-authored the amendment proposing the extra money. It would be in addition to $2.7 million in matching funds already listed in the budget.
One of the larger industries in my district and adjoining district is sport fisheries, lodgeries, and a lot of the day fisheries. I think other members of this committee have referred to them as our mom and pops. And this is me taking a stand not to leave them behind.
Legislation passed 3 years ago called for the state to fund 70% of a marketing contract, while the industry funded 30%. But those terms were expected to end this year. North Pole Republican Representative Tammy Wilson says industry leaders were supposed to present the legislature with a workable funding plan.
I don't want the message being sent that we give you 3 years to do something and you do nothing and we still reward you for doing nothing. That just sits with me so wrong.
The legislature last year boosted the state's share of tourism marketing from $9 million to $16 million. Governor Sean Parnell proposed a similar plan this year. The industry says it cannot afford an increased contribution. It also proposed a tax credit system last year that did not pass. MATSU Republican Representative Mark Newman was among those voting against the funding, but he says there's still a chance for some extra money.
I can't support the amendment because of the process that we're in, but I think there's a way out of this. We've got capital budget. We've got continuing process through this. We've got a mechanism coming forward that I feel will carry this, and I'll do all I can to support that.
A separate bill proposing a funding scenario had a hearing in the House Special Committee on Economic Development, Trade, and Tourism on Tuesday. House Bill 160 would send car rental and corporate income taxes to marketing efforts. That bill is expected to get another hearing next week. State troopers are investigating a break-in at a fish hatchery in Southeast Alaska on Port St. Nicholas Road near Klawock that resulted in the death of King Salmon Fry. The hatchery is the smaller of the two operated by the Prince of Wales Hatchery Association. Between 5:30 p.m. last Tuesday and 8 a.m. on Wednesday, March 2nd, a person or persons entered the hatchery building and turned off the water supply valves to four incubators. Oxygen levels fell to fatal levels, and it's estimated that 98% to 99% of the king salmon fry died. Several employees were able to save 1% to 2% of the young salmon. Jake Snyder of the Prince of Wales Hatchery Association says the Port St. Nicholas facility raises about 400,000 kings per year. He says the fish are reared at the hatchery and released in streams in Kaufman Cove and at Port St. Nicholas. Snyder says the larger Klawock hatchery that produces 5 million coho annually was not affected. Snyder says they're still trying to assess the damage at the smaller hatchery and determine the financial impacts. State troopers are still investigating the incident and ask anyone with information to contact them. For KHNS, I'm Tara Bicknell. As the Iditarod charts its way through western Alaska, KHNS brings updates from reporters on the trail in a series of five stories that'll run in some local newscasts through March 17th.
It's become a Martin Boozer-style race, with teams taking their 24 hours in friendly to Katna. Good morning. I'm Steve Heimel.
Support for APRN Iditarod coverage comes from Wells Fargo, providing financial tools and resources for purchasing a home or planning for the future. Wells Fargo Bank, N.A.
Leading teams have been dwindling. Last year's Iditarod winner Lance Mackey has had to drop four dogs. Paul Gebhardt decided to scratch due to trouble with his dogs. Hugh Neff, Mitch and Dallas Seavey, and John Baker find themselves down to 13 dogs. There is some kennel cough developing on the trail, but the main problem may be temperatures a little too warm for many of the teams. But for Martin Boozer's team, things are going well. He came into Takotna with an hour and a half lead over Mackey and looks to be taking his 24-hour layover there. Boozer took the lead on the Kuskokwim. APRN's Ellen Lockyer was there as he took just about a minute to check in McGrath yesterday evening.
Coming down the street now. Open up a little more down there.
Martin Boozer arrived in McGrath at 5:55 Tuesday evening to claim the first to the Kuskokwim honors.
Look at him peeing like a big boy, huh?
Thank you all.
Okay, folks, Martin. Open it up. Open it up.
All right.
Good luck.
Hey!
Hey! Let's go!
Good race, Martin.
Thank you. Just let him go.
Here we go. Good race, Martin.
Boozer had a dog in the basket, one he dropped quickly as he almost simultaneously accepted his Pennair prize for his first to the river feat. Boozer did not pause for kudos, however, demonstrating the tension the usually affable musher must be feeling. He was back on the river in a minute, soon a speck against the white landscape downriver. Lance Mackey, running third out of Nikolai, passed Sebastian Schnuller somewhere between that checkpoint and McGrath. Mackey breezed into and out of McGrath a full hour and a half after Boozer left, pausing only to untangle a couple of his dogs as he headed down the riverbank.
All right, get up! Get up! Up! All right, up! Come on, Rev.
Schnuller was hot on Mackey's heels, barely pausing for breath before heading downriver at full gallop. Checker Mark Cox.
He came in at 7:27, so they're exactly 10 minutes apart.
And so it went all evening. Hugh Neff, Mitch Seavey, and Ray Reddington Jr. checking in only minutes apart, and mushers barely stopping long enough to check in before pushing back onto the Iditarod Trail. I'm Ellen Lockyer.
In Takotna, Sebastian Schnuller came in a quarter of an hour behind Mackey with 14 dogs. The next arrivals were Hugh Neff, Ray Reddington Jr., Mitch Seavey, Robert Bunsen, Hans Gott, Dallas Seavey, Mike Williams Jr., John Baker, Sonny Lindner, Didi Genro, Ramey Smith, Bruce Litton, Ali Zirkel, Sven Haltman, Jesse Royer, Rick Swenson, and Peter Kaiser. Like most teams, Dallas Seavey's stop in McGrath was brief. But the third generation musher did take some time to sign autographs.
Yeah, he is going through his sign my vet book, I suppose.
We do.
Yeah, 1 second. Who's signing my vet book?
We have a vet.
I need an autograph first from somebody.
Can I possibly get an autograph?
Sure.
Thank you so much.
I'm going to have to go as soon as this fella's done signing my vet book.
Thank you so much. Good luck in your race.
Temperatures on the trail ahead are forecast to be in the 20s, and as of early this morning, nobody was making the move to Ophir and beyond. The trail through the remote former gold mining country to the halfway point in Iditarod can be notoriously bad, with wind-drifted snow. At last report, the trail was packed well, but the snow was deep if a team got off the packed trail. The Bureau of Land Management put some big new markers in this year, so there may be less of a problem with mushers getting sidetracked.
Follow the coverage of this year's Iditarod at aprn.org and on Twitter at aprn.
This is APRN.